When he was a year out of graduate school, Jack Lambeau published his graduate thesis as a book, a thin 100-page rant on all that had gone foul in urban design and town planning, and what he might do in its stead. That it would gather so much attention had never been in his plans, that it would be excerpted in two national magazines, appear on a New England bestseller list, and that he'd have a short life on the lecture circuit and on public television and radio talk shows was beyond proper proportion. He didn't think there was anything earth-shaking in what he'd written, entitled Death by Landscape, How America Lost Its Soul. It was all common sense. He'd ripped into easy targets, suburban shopping plazas and housing subdivisions, zoning, cars, cul-de-sacs, television, fast food, parking lots, crass consumerism, the disposability and accompanying ugliness of everything built in the last 20 years. And he made the prediction that at the dawn of the new century, there'd be a countrywide yearning for the sort of communities that had been banished to the historic waste bin. A return of small-town life. It was a sound and sensible piece of work, he believed, but it was nothing more than luck and good timing, and possibly his youth and height, 6'3", and purportedly passable looks, and a jacket photo that made him look, according to a friend, like a bookish water polo player, that had made him, for a short while, the new and ubiquitous voice on urban design. If he was liked and revered by a sector of the reading public, he did not see a standing within the New York City Planning Commission, where he'd been working, improve. Rather, there was an element that clearly resented Jack, his minor celebrity, though he never trumpeted his accomplishments and was for his own part unconvinced by them. They buried him in paperwork, silenced him at meetings, and ignored him at city functions. He had begun to see his early success as less of a stepping stone to greatness and more a roadblock to it. Typical in its futility was his effort to create a health park in Western Harlem. Within the first month, Jack found himself mired knee-deep in something called the Uniform Land Use Review Procedure, preparing cumbersome documents, sending forms out to 20 public agencies, and then waiting for signatures to come back while the project died and the main hospital went under. And there were other frustrations. A section of city with no traffic and still a 2-month wait for approval from the Department of Traffic. Or someone finding an arrowhead on a building site and demanding it closed so that a team of archaeologists could scour it for a year. It got so that his biggest triumphs were securing permits for a street fair, or helping ensure that a group of buildings in Park Slope didn't block the lunchtime sun for a bunch of families in 3-story brownstones. The Lakeland project came about on one of Jack's visits home. He'd been recruited by the mayor to give a talk on waterfront development and the reimagining of small towns, subjects on which he had a lot to say. When he finished, he'd won everyone over, with the possible exception of the town planner, Carl Farnich, who'd been heading the project up to that point and whom Jack eventually supplanted. He declined initially for 100 reasons, but each week the mayor sweetened the pot. More pay and more say, and finally a turn-of-the-century farmhouse he and his fiancée, Ann Marks, could live in. Within a month, Jack had decided to take the project on. He was 32, and 32 was as good an age as any to build something lasting, to leave a mark, to show he could do more than just talk the talk. And why shouldn't he begin with the town where he was born? Outside the front door of the Octopus's Garden, 3 employees did the bump to Madonna's Lucky Star. The doorman, who wore Wayfarer-type sunglasses and dressed as an octopus with wiry tentacles squirming from his back, called out, "Jack Lambeau, am I right?"
"Yes."
The octopus took his sunglasses off. Jack searched the muscular face. It belonged to the younger brother of a boy from his high school track team.
"How you doing, Ronnie?" Jack said. "Must be kind of pathetic being back here after New York, huh?"
Ronnie's tentacles bobbed as he moved to the beat. Jack glanced at Anne to gauge her reaction.
"This is New York, Ronnie," he said.